it's kind of odd to introduce myself, but one of the things I just want to bring up, to light here is that we need to really work together as a dedicated band of people. And I like Margaret Mead's quote, which says, everybody, it takes a small band of dedicated people. And I see the small band of dedicated people here. Just like a 15-second introduction of who I am. As I said, I'm an MD, MPH, and I head up the Global Health Program at New York Medical College. I'm an associate professor. But the other hat I wear is I'm also the NGO representative of the Medical Women to the UN. And one of the things, I'm also on the board of the NGO CSW committee. I'm going to give this URL to you at the end of the presentation, because we are launching the Beijing Plus 20 campaign, and violence against women is very important. It's an online campaign, so I will give you the URL. So if you could sign on, because it's going to be very, very interactive, so you can post what are the success stories. So it's basically like a platform in cyberspace to share. So that being said, my topic today is violence against women, addressing a silent global pandemic. And you know, it's kind of weird. Every time we look at the presenter disclosures, no relationships. So we are not moms, we are not sisters, we are not wives, we are not friends. So that's kind of weird the way they word it, like no relationships to disclose. Yes, according to the APHA's rule, well, that is what they want us to, and that's why. So the objectives of my presentation are, I'm going to discuss why violence against women is a global challenge and why is empowerment crucial, and also talk about a few preventive steps and highlight some examples. Now, when we talk about the term empowerment, it's not like in the 60s where people started burning their bras and saying we're equal to men. It's empowerment is to bring out the best in yourself so that you can do what is what you can do to help others and work together as a team. To realize your power is really, I think, one of the best definitions of empowerment. So, unfortunately, even though we have, you know, we had this new developments in space, which was great, my daughter goes like, Mom, aren't you proud of it? I said, yes, I'll be prouder the day when violence against women becomes zero. You know, hopefully, at least in the next lifetime, we can say it's very minimum. It's terrible. But unfortunately, one of the biggest challenges we have is this is such an ugly document. When you start looking at what is violence against women and what are the different forms against violence against women, Amy was so eloquent when she talked about the different types of violence against women. I'm not going to go into that, but I'm just going to talk about some of the challenges we face. And one of the biggest challenge I find the sea is the climate change. Because climate change is really affecting women in more ways than one. And how is it violence? Because women have to work longer, carry more water, carry more firewood. So why aren't men doing this? Again, this is not a gender bashing podium. It's just to put the message across, because as the outgoing chair of the Committee of Women's Rights, I think it's really important that a day should come when we look at gender inequity as a thing of the distant past. So I think it's really terrible because women are having, you know, are subject to a double whammy. And then corruption. Women are the ones who are affected. And one of the other biggest issues is disenfranchised populations. If we look at what's happening in Iraq, in Syria, just to name conflicts, or even what happened in this town, Katrina. When Katrina came 9 years ago, we were all supposed to come here. We didn't, but we came back. But it was the women, often minority women, who suffered. So again, they were disenfranchised. And again, lack of access to healthcare. We say, oh, it's happening in that country. No, we have so many pockets of issues going on right here. And poor sanitation. World Toilet Day is coming up. I mean, this is not a place to talk about toilets when people are having coffee, but it's very important because women often do not have access to toilets. Children do not go to school, especially girls, because there are no toilets. So all this is kind of like a 3D puzzle, which are the challenges women face. And We don't have effective national laws, or we have loopholes in the law which have perpetrators to act with impunity. And I'll give you an example. In Pakistan, if a woman is raped, there needs to be 8 witnesses to say that she's raped. Otherwise, she will not get justice. And in Sudan, if a woman is raped before she gets medical attention, she needs to get a paper from the police or the military, and often she's raped before she gets the paper. So why are we looking at women not as human beings, but as statistics? Like, and a process. Yes, we all like a process, but the process needs to be logical. And unfortunately, it's illogical for one half, more than one half of the world. Now, this is a true example. This young girl, her name was Destiny Blessing in Nigeria. And one of my good friends was, who's working there. I mean, a bunch of us, I guess, who train in other fields just go back to public health and human rights because we all care about it. Otherwise, we wouldn't be sitting in this room. Long story short, her older sister gave a loan to a shopkeeper, about $30. And she wanted it back because she had Destiny's older sister brought her and her younger sister from a village in Nigeria. She asked for the money, saying, I need it. Guess what happened? One evening at 7 o'clock, he knocked on the door. I have your money. When they came out, he threw acid onto them because he didn't want to return the money. So this young girl, this is what happened to her. This is an example of gender-based violence. So, and she's lost complete eyesight in one eye. And guess what? He got scot-free. If a man did this, do you think he'd go scot-free if a woman did this to a man? I'm not saying we need to abuse men, but I'm just saying look at justice is really blind when it comes to women. This is a true story. Okay, so when we're talking about MDG 3, we all look at this, and as you know, the 17 goals have just been released from Sustainable Development Goals with, I think, 169 targets. But when we're looking at MDG 3, where we talk about gender equality, even though you see the success, look at this. In still many countries, women still face discrimination. There's no equal pay, including in our own country. So again, at every level, women and girls are being discriminated. Now, MDG 5, maternal mortality fell according to a study by The Lancet, which was like almost a 2-decade study. But guess what? Only half of women in developing countries receive health care. And if you walk around the expo booth, you will see so many international NGOs and organizations who are talking about, what can be done, safe birth practices. Because, ladies and gentlemen, maternal mortality is 98% preventable, but there's no cure for maternal mortality. So that's something we really need to understand. And as I said, it's multifactorial. And just going back to social determinants of health, full disclosure, the makers of Slumdog Millionaire are not paying me to show this picture. It's actually from the WHO. But this is how some slums are. And guess what? The poverty and social exclusion among women is a major contributing fact. Again, these again are some pictures which I took when I was at the UN exhibition. Guess how old this girl is? She's 16 and he's 45. Child brides from Afghanistan. So again, when we are looking at the culture, this cultural practice is detrimental. And then this young girl is pregnant at 14. I mean, as a practicing OB in my past life a couple of years ago, you know, teenage pregnancy is every healthcare provider's nightmare. Okay, so why do you think education matters? Because I really like this quote by George Lucas. He said, education is the single most important job of the human race. Education is just not going for your PhD, MD, DRPH. It's being aware, educating them as to what can be done at local levels, what can be done at a national level, what can be done globally to help ourselves. So that is education, because it's just not bookish learning. It's actually practice. That's why we are here in APHA. And you don't have to be an MPH or a DRPH to be credentialed as a public health person. It's within all of us. Okay. Now, we all know education matters, because a child born to a mother who can read has a 50% greater chance of surviving for the past 5 years. So that's why we're talking about education. It is so crucial. Okay. Now, social media. Amy talked about social media. I mean, do we really care if George Clooney got married? I don't. I don't care if... Thank you. That's why we're sitting here, right? But this is the scary part. As of January 2014, why aren't these put there on Twitter? Only 9 women served as heads of state and 15 others served as heads of government. It's really terrible. But again, I'm not being that pessimistic. Do you know the country with the maximum number of women parliamentarians is Rwanda? Over 33% of the parliamentarians are women. And again, Paul Kagame is not paying me to talk about this, but I think they've done some really good job with regards to women's equality and promotion of gender equality and women's health after the horrible civil war genocide they went to. So again, so this is the biggest issue. And then again, there's a very interesting campaign called He for She. You can check it out, because it is where we want all the men in the room. Thank you for coming, Dr. Dara. You need to go onto this and show the support. That means he's standing up for she. So this is another great campaign to kind of bring about the gender balance. And we also have things like a people's movement in Sri Lanka, example of best practices, where women talk about violence against women actually into the open, and nobody says, oh, it's your fault. That people help them, so they have like a support group. So again, we have Women for Women, and the other thing is SEWA, which is the Self-Employment Women's Association. This even has launched a SEWA pension scheme, because Amy was talking about microcredit, so this is, they went a step further, because all these people, they contribute, so they have like a 401k, which we all work and we have a pension plan. So they launched this so that it helps women. Now again, this is the other issue we have, is the launched in 2008, the Unite to End Violence. Actually, that's a hyperlink. It can be clicked on. And November 25th is to end violence against women. So show your support by wearing orange. So it's called Orange the World. That means you're making a statement that you support the stance of gender equality and the efforts being launched worldwide. That's why it's in orange. At least it's actually in orange, but it shows up as kind of yellow, but it is orange. So the other issue I just want to talk briefly about is, these are some of the goals of the Unite, is adoption and enforcement of national laws, because unfortunately we don't have many laws. And even if you think right here in our own, you know, in the U.S., in our own country, we have laws. Like, you are reporting, so many of you are healthcare providers. You're mandated to report child abuse. You're mandated to report elder abuse. But what happens to a woman who's over 18 and less than 64 and she's abused? You just go through the motions of giving her, this is the power, this is the power of a wheel, and then these are your resources, but you're not mandated to report it. So my question to all of us is, why? So that's a big gap. So if you're less than 18, if you're kicked, you're a child abuse. I mean, it's considered as child abuse. And over 65, it's senior abuse. But what happens to the rest of us? Because you have to go through a number of years before you go to that age, and you can't live 18, be 18 forever, even though we would love to. But so this is something I would really like us to think about. So what are some of the strategies? Now, this is in Nigeria, UN Women supported police training on violence against women and human trafficking, which was really useful. And in the state of Bihar in India, they had women police stations, which increased the number of women coming to report against gender violence. So these are some of the issues. And then UNICEF has developed a manual for football coaches, where there are girls also who are trained to play soccer, because we know time and again, people who engage in sports are have a different perspective. And a girl playing a boy sport definitely is empowerment, and it's acceptable by gender. So these are some of the things. And again, Liberia, country-wise, the United Nations Healthcare, the Refugee Agency, the UNHCR, they supported the establishment of a new community health department where they talked about reproductive health and sexual and gender-based violence. And then this, because people can have access to my PowerPoint, this link is very interesting because there is, which uses football as a medium to address violence, saying you kick the ball, not a woman. You know, so these are the kind of things out there. And again, I really like this crossword puzzle up there because it just shows us what does empowerment mean to you. So, and also the other thing is a lot of times indigenous people are kind of shut out of the mainstream. So again, if you're a woman belonging to an indigenous group, that's a whole other issue. So this is what I was talking about is to orange. So starting next week, please make sure you wear something orange because it's nice and colorful, colors of fall, you're making a fashion statement, but also you're really promoting a good cause. So these are some of my references, and thank you so much.